change the stage decoration there. We're not redecorating, but that is for the musical tonight, and so it's going to be good. Come and enjoy it. I always loved seeing the kids. No pressure. I'm grateful. Aren't you grateful you don't have to bring those like enormous video cameras you used to have back in the day when our kids were little? There's always a guy with like a tripod and a thing. It looked like he was from NBC. I mean, it's a massive camera. Now you just got your phone holding up there. And so anyway, but come and be a part of this tonight. It's going to be a great time. Just a quick reminder of the insert in the bulletin about Sunday school coming up in 2 weeks. We'll start back with brand new Sunday school classes and just encourage you to get involved in a Sunday school class. It mentions in there, we've kind of highlighted some classes, but Life in the Word is a class that's open to men and women, all ages, and Cecilia Harness is the Bible teacher in that class. What a great Bible teacher. If you want to study the Word of God, you can't find a better class to be in than Life in the Word. Ladies' Tea Time class, whatever, such great support. They've been together. Yvonne Feller's the teacher in there. The issues and Discoveries with Dr. Kent Teague, another great class or whatever, dealing with how the Bible interprets what's going on in our world. And so there's a place for you to come and study the Word of God, a place for you to get connected and build relationships. Anyway, good stuff happens in Sunday school. So put that in your top five New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight, love my spouse, live for Jesus. I'm going to go to Sunday school. I don't know. Put them up there somewhere. Stop kicking the cat or whatever you're going to do. But anyway, make sure about those things. Again, it's great to see all of you here this morning. God bless you. We're just thrilled to see you here on this Sunday morning. Somebody told me Terry Palmer's back there. Terry, where are you at? Is he right there? There he is. Thank you. Welcome home. My friend, this young man's in the United States Army and active. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your service and good to have you home. I know we've got two other active service folk that I'm fixing to talk about, but who else is here? If you're active military or whatever besides these Marines that are over here, anybody else you've come home for? I don't want to miss anybody, but we thank you for your service and what you're doing. The newest Marine right there, stand up, Colton, so we can see you, man. Got the uniform on. Woo-hoo-hoo. Just awesome, absolutely. I gotta say, no offense to the Army, but you know those Marine uniforms, they do look pretty sharp. So anyway, and then I said the Marines of Land, Cody and Amanda are home with Mr. Jameson, Craig Morris. Bring him up here. We're going to dedicate this baby boy today. So there he is. Is that a cool shot or what? He's kind of famous on Facebook, so you can come up right there. What a sweet boy. Welcome home, guys. How are you? Great to see you. Hi, Amanda. Bless you. How are we doing?
I'm supposed to tell you that my dad and me were both dedicated in this outfit.
Really? Well, we got antique clothes on.
Yeah.
How about that? So. Sorry about calling your dad an antique there. But Jameson's dad, Cody, and Grandpa Joe there were both dedicated in this little outfit. Did I dedicate you? Did I? Yeah, I couldn't remember. Huh? At 2 weeks. All right. Hey, buddy, how we doing? I've seen you on the TV, you know, and in the movies and stuff. Let's turn you around so everybody can see you. Well, there's like three rows of people. You talk about paparazzi. I mean, he's got it going on over here. So I know they dress you in fatigues and stuff all the time. So I know this is a little whatever for you to be wearing this little thing. He'll have boots and fatigues on pretty quick, won't he? I got a feeling about that. But isn't he a dandy? I tell you what, this is a keeper right here. Now I've already kind of told myself not to get all whatever about this, but there's something kind of special about this because of the generations that, and Amanda, I don't know you as well or whatever, but this guy and on the Morris side and certainly on the Casey side of things, then I go back to your great great grandparents, right? Yeah, and that's just pretty amazing. I've known some folk, and Jameson, what I'm telling you is, buddy, you got some heritage, you got some big shoes to fill, because there's some people that love Jesus, and they're in heaven, they're delighting over what's going on right here. that you came all the way from California back to Tulsa to Carbondale to get yourself dedicated. And we think that's pretty awesome. It says something about the roots of this place. And regardless of where you go, and you're heading to Hawaii next, I know, that's tough duty, isn't it? But anyway, that's their next deployment, next place to head to. But to come back here, because your roots always keep you anchored right here in Tulsa and Carbondale, and the generations go back, and as we've said, blessed people. You got good folks, and you do too. I know there's some of them out here today, and we honor you, and thank you for your commitment to Jesus, and thanks for coming home and letting us be a part of this today. I'm honored. You turned out pretty good. If I dedicated you, I did something right, because so far you're doing pretty good. And I got to say, you sure look like your Grandpa Don, so it's okay for me to get a little teary about that, because I still miss that stinker. We had something happen the other day, and I said, where's Don Casey? I need that guy, because he knows where all the stuff's hidden around here. And anyway, so Don, we're thinking about you today. But it is an honor to have this young man in my arms today. And God's blessed you with great blessing, and with great blessing comes great responsibility, because you got to raise this boy, and it's not going to happen by accident. There's got to be intent and purpose. You got to train him up to walk with the Lord. And that's what the Bible says to do, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. It means to find out what's the plan that God has for this boy, and then train him up that way. Train him up to explore and discover all the gifts and the plan and the purpose that God has for him. And that's the best advice I can give. So it's your plan and intention, and you're declaring it to all these folk that you're going to raise this boy to know Jesus, and you're going to raise him in a godly Christian home, right?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Then that's what we're going to do. We're going to dedicate you to Jesus. Mom and Dad are going to raise you right, and we're going to pray today. So, Father, I thank you for the precious gift that I hold in my hands today, Mr. Jameson Craig Morris. I thank you for a healthy body, for a strong, sharp mind. I thank you for a spirit that's sensitive to the voice of the Lord, to the words of instruction from the Word of God, and words of instruction from Mom and Dad and grandparents and all kinds of folk that are going to speak into his life. Lord, there's generations of godly people on both sides, of all sides of this family. There's preachers and part of that. We don't know what you're going to call him to do. We don't know if he'll be a preacher someday, or a teacher, or be a Marine, or a pilot, or a plumber, or whatever you've got for him. Lord, we just want whatever you have for this young man. That's what we want. Most of all, Lord, we pray that you'll give him a sensitive spirit, that he'll be sensitive to your voice, so that when he reaches the age of accountability, it'll be the most natural thing in the world for him to say, I want Jesus to come into my heart and into my life. I want to serve Jesus with all my heart. Lord, let it be. I pray, Lord, for Amanda and Cody today. I pray you make them the husband and wife and the father and mother that you've called them to be, that they can model for their son what grace and mercy and blessing and forgiveness is all about. And so when somebody says, when did you come to know Jesus? He'll say, you know, it seems like he lived in our house. I could tell it by the way Dad treated Mom and the way Mom treated Dad. And that he'll grow up and want to be a man of God like his dad and marry a woman of God like his mom, Lord. That you'll give them wisdom to train this child up in all the ways that he specifically is supposed to go. And Lord, all the influence, all that godly influence from great-grandparents and the great-greats that are already in your presence and others, Lord, I pray the mercy of the Lord upon these families that have gathered here today to show their support and their love for this little guy. How important it is, Lord, that he recognizes that gift of family and that gift of heritage. And so, Lord, we just know that you've got good plans for him, and so we can trust him into your hands and into your care. And so today, Lord, it's my joy to dedicate Jameson Craig Morris to you. And I pray, Lord, that you will fulfill all the good, rich plans you have for him, that he'll continue to grow and prosper, keep him from sin and sickness, from all the wickedness of the world, and instead let him walk in purity and holiness before you, Lord. Accomplish your plan and your purpose for his life, and I'll thank you and praise you as we dedicate him to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, amen. Let the Holy Ghost overshadow this boy. Fill him with good things. Amen. There you go. Let me hand this to you right here. Bless you guys. Proud of you, man. Love you guys. Bless y'all. Bless you, Amanda. Bye-bye, Jameson. All right. What a dandy. What a dandy. I couldn't see what all he was doing. I could hear a few things he was doing, so, but anyway. What a sweetie. What a sweetie. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. If you can't come back tonight, or if we don't see you Tuesday night, if this is my last time to see you, or if you're watching us today, have a Merry Christmas. We want God's best for you. I believe that God's got something good in store for us in 2020. We'll talk about that next week perhaps, but I'm just thrilled that you're here today and joining us. We're going to wrap up this series. We've been talking about being in pursuit of a king. And we talked about the wise men who came asking, where is the one who's born king of the Jews? They didn't know who he was. They didn't know his name. They just knew that by some revelation that a king was born. And then we talked about Simeon, who came into the temple in pursuit of the king. He didn't know his name either, but he had some additional information. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he had seen the one that Luke referred to as the Lord's Christ, which means the Messiah. So Simeon had this notion that, well, whatever his name is, I know who he is. I know he's the Messiah. I know he's the promised one of Israel, the anointed one who comes not only as a king, but as this one who is sent by God to usher in God's kingdom and his presence into Israel. And so he had a different understanding. Last Sunday we talked about what kind of king this was, contrasting him with other earthly kings, the fact that he was unique in all of his ways. This morning I want to focus on who this king is and on what's revealed to us when we find him and we discover his name. It's interesting, when Herod inquired of the teachers of the law and the chief priests where the Messiah was to be born, they told him, well, the scripture says that he's to be born in Bethlehem. And if Herod had asked more questions, or if they had felt comfortable in sharing more information perhaps, they could have given some additional information. They could have told him that from the writing of the prophet Isaiah, that this king was to be called Emmanuel. For the prophet said, the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then the prophet said in chapter 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So they knew that. They had read those words, but I'm sure they're thinking, what does this mean? What's it mean that his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us? I mean, how is God going to be with us? He's just going to bring blessing back to the nation? Or how is it that God would? I don't think any of them could have imagined that God would become a man and dwell among them. And so what could this mean? And that he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What kind of a name is this, and what does it mean? In our culture, a name is often chosen nowadays because we like the way it sounds. I don't know that people put a whole lot of thought into the meaning of a name anymore. I guess maybe they do. They look it up. You know, there was a time when it was kind of cool to come up with extraordinary names or whatever. And well, the meaning in Swahili is this, or the meaning in whatever, find another language. I remember the first time I kind of noticed that, celebrities were naming people different names was, any of you old rock and roller remember Frank Zappa? And so it was Frank Zappa, named his son, he named a kid Moon Unit. And then he had another kid named Dweezil. I don't know if that means anything. I don't know. I probably don't want to know if Dweezil means something. But anyway, so it was kind of like, well, that's cool and trendy. Jay-Z and Beyonce, they got a daughter, Blue Ivy, kind of a little different name or whatever. When we were expecting our first child, if it was a girl, we didn't know, but I'd said, well, if it's a girl, we can name her Sunshine, because I'm from the 60s and 70s, so good morning, Sunshine. Anyway, and Sunshine on my shoulders. I had thoughts about how I could sing to my kid or whatever, and so when she was born, we named her Sarah, so you can see how that turned out, my theory on. So then when we were expecting a second child, I had this name that came to me. I made it up. I thought it sounded cool, Precia. And I will name her Precia Dawn. I just thought that was cool. So that's Rebecca back there. So I'm 0-2, I guess would be the way to look at that. I remember my friend, a friend of mine told me about preaching at a church in Mississippi, and the pastor had three daughters. They were named Shonda, Shondai, and Shondalai. It's like, how did they ever get anybody to the dinner table if you mess those names up? But anyway, And you know the story of the woman inspired by a trip to Walgreens, and she named her twins Visine and Murine. So, you know, you got that. Little brother Advil and stuff. So it just depends on how it sounds, regardless of the meaning of the name or whatever. And so, well, the Bible places a great deal of emphasis and importance on the name of a person. The name is chosen because it reveals something about that person or even about a place. Think of the number of times in the Old Testament that the Bible says, and he called that place, and then there's a name. And he called that Jehovah Jireh, in the mountain of the Lord provides. And so there was meaning behind it. And the name was meant to give us information regarding the name or the attributes of a person or a thing. At least sometimes it's supposed to work that way, that we understand the purpose and the nature of a thing by its name. So if I show you an object and I say, and this is called a coffee maker, you don't typically say, really, what's it do? Because it's pretty obvious, isn't it, by the name. Yeah, some of you are still scratching your head just a little bit. So, boy, it's 11:40. Come on. But anyway, you know what it does because of the name. It's a coffee maker. This is a bookshelf. Really, what do you use it for? Well, mostly. At the heart of it, it's a shelf that holds books. Thank you, you're getting there. So this is a pencil sharpener. What does it do? Sharpens pencils. It's a cup holder. It holds a cup. So you're getting there. This is a Frito chili cheese wrap from Sonic. What's in it? No? You're warning me. Lewis is warning me about that. Is that a bad thing? I don't know, but I know what's in it, right? There's Fritos, and there's chili, and there's cheese. So I get a pretty good idea. So you get, by the name of something, you get an idea of what it's about, and what it does. If I tell you I'm the regional manager of quality control and inventory assessment for the biotechnical and robotic division of Vandalay Industries, then most of you are going to go, yeah, what do you do then? What actually do you do? And so I get you need some clarification. If I tell you that I'm the dishwasher at Freddy's Steakhouse out on 66, nobody's going to go, really? And what does your job entail? I'm the dishwasher, so I wash the dishes. You get a sense of what that's about. So the name of something or someone gives you information about the nature of my work. A name creates expectations sometimes. I wrote a book years ago about Chief McPherson. Nobody said, was he Italian? They just expected that he was a Native American because he was named Chief John McPherson. A name gives information. A name can set destiny, can release or deny potential in people. Names can be prophetic and self-fulfilling. I remember Charles Crabtree talking about a person in his life that every time they saw him when he was a little boy, and he was a great preacher in the Assemblies of God, still is, that he said when they would see me, they'd say, and how's my little preacher? How's my little preacher boy? And he said it wasn't that she called him to ministry, but she let him know that she recognized potential and calling and gifting of what could be in someone. If somebody calls you stupid or clumsy or ugly or whatever a whole life, somebody's putting a name on you that limits you, that you have to fight against or overcome. But names can project destiny. Names can tie us to the past. Names can tie us to greatness. And then somebody says, well, live up to that name. I've always thought about Martin Luther King III, that blessed that young man who's not a young man now, but who I think has lived up to maybe to his father's name in that sense. But boy, just think, if somebody gives you that name, you better live up to it. There's an expectation set when someone names you after themselves or after a grandfather or someone else. We bear the name Christian. We've got something to live up to because his name is upon us. So there's an expectation that we won't act or talk or do things in ways that would cause people that would bring Christ into disrepute somehow or another. So names are important to God. And he reveals himself to us by various names. By some count, maybe 20 different names for God. I mentioned Jehovah Jireh, God provides. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. In Exodus, when Moses said, I want to know you, tell me your name. And God said, I'll have to explain it to you. And then he hides him in the cleft of the rock. And he says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet not leaving the guilty unpunished. He proclaims something of his nature and character in his name. And so when we talk about God's name, we expect certain things because of His name. When we talk about Him as Jehovah Rapha, the healer, the God who heals, then we expect Him to heal. We expect healing for us. When we talk about Him as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, we expect that provision will be there at just the right time because that's His name and His nature and His character. And that brings us back to the words of the prophet Isaiah about the birth of this king we've been pursuing. It was a name tied to an event that was assigned to Israel and to all the people of the world. And Matthew quotes the prophet Isaiah in his gospel after he explains that the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream and said, "It's okay, go ahead and take Mary as your wife because the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "And this happened to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And how significant and amazing is that, God with us? That His name is a sign announcing this powerful truth that God is truly among us, that He tabernacles with us, He dwells with us, we're not alone. And when the angel announced this to Joseph, it was coming at the end of 400 years of silence. It was 400 years from the last Old Testament prophet to the time when the angel announces this to Joseph, without a prophet, without a word from the Lord. 400 years goes by, and now the silence is broken, and she says, and now a baby's going to be born. And guess what? The sign of this, the significance of this, the very nature of this baby, God is back. God is with us. Emmanuel is here. The darkness gives way to light. The silence is broken, and everything changes because God in flesh comes to Israel. God has stepped into history. And when He stepped into Israel's history, He stepped into our history as well. Emmanuel, God with us. So when we speak of His name, Emmanuel, we confirm and affirm His presence, His involvement in our lives. What's in a name? Everything. Evidence, an affirmation, a sign. The king that the wise men came seeking, His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. That's good news. And then Isaiah gives us further information by giving us some additional names that describe this king, this God who is with us. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So let's look at that for just a minute. First, He says, "To us a child is born." God is with us, but how is He going to be with us? How does God come among us? The prophet tells us, a child is born. A king is born. He came to the world in the usual way, as someone said, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. Anyway, there were planes to catch, but thank you, Harry Chapin. Anyway, I know I lost a lot of you, but it's okay. So a king is born. God becomes a man. Well, this incredible miracle, but how does He arrive? He's born. He's born like children, like all children, but then again, not like all other children. Because He's born not by the will of a man, a father, He's born of a virgin. But born is a sign of His humanity. He came to be among us like all of us, born in flesh, born of a mother, but He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born fully human, but also fully divine and without sin. A child is born. To us a son is given. And what grace is revealed in those words? A son is given. Because who among us would give up their son or their daughter? I got to tell you, there's a Marine there on that second row that would take me out in a hurry if I tried to take that son away from him. And I don't know, as wonderful as a whole lot of people around him are, I can't imagine him saying, "I'll sacrifice my son in behalf of some stranger that's sitting in this room." God gave His son. He gave Him in behalf of us. And the incredible thing is that the Bible says, "And while we were still dead in our trespasses and sins, while we were still sinners and enemies of God, God gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for us." God so loved the world that He gave. A child is born is a sign of His humanity. A son is given is a sign of His divinity, that He was and is eternally one with the Father, the unique and only begotten Son of God. The government will be on His shoulders. He was the epitome of executive authority or princeliness. He was born to rule, to be a king ruling over a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. And now by His grace, we're all a part of that. So He is our sovereign and king and Lord, and we are His family and subjects and heirs and co-heirs. He's our only king. He's the only one to whom we give complete and undivided loyalty and allegiance. And he will be called, the prophet said. His name is decreed. It was already decided from the beginning. His destiny and his name was decreed. Salvation was no afterthought. Nobody had to ponder about, well, what are we going to call him? What's his name going to be? It was decreed by God from before the foundations of the earth. For John in the Revelation says, I saw a lamb as if it had been slain from the foundations of the world. His name would be Savior Jesus, the sacrifice for sin. He will be called. And then he tells us these names, Wonderful Counselor. Literally it reads Wonder and Counselor, where wonder means something like miracle. And this word wonderful is in the Hebrew is used 15 times of human acts where it means something that's out of the ordinary. But it's used 54 times of the acts of God, and there its meaning is something supernatural, something that for whatever reason requires God as its only explanation. And what I'm telling you is that when we need something beyond what we can even imagine, and we can't even express it all in our prayers and thoughts, and then God comes through and does that extraordinary thing beyond anything we could think or ask for, when that happens, God's living up to his name. God's being and doing exactly what he said he would do and who he said he would be. He is wonder. He is wonderful. And if you're reading, if you're looking at NIV or NASB, I think it just says Wonderful Counselor. If you're reading the King James Version, there's a comma after wonderful. It's wonderful, comma, counselor, comma, mighty God. Two separate names. It's extraordinary. He's extraordinary in his acts. He's wonder. He is miracle. He's beyond. He's wonderful. And he's also extraordinary in his counsel, in the guidance and the establishment and working out of his purposes in our lives. He's the counselor who comes along beside us. My daughter's a professional counselor. She comes alongside people to help them sort through the problems, to bring comfort and guidance and direction for them to discover how to walk on and how to take the next step. And so his guidance and the establishment of his purpose for our lives. So he's the counselor that comes to comfort us. The Bible says he's near to the brokenhearted. He gives wise counsel and comfort and peace that passes understanding. He is wonderful, and he is counselor, and he is a wonderful counselor. And another interesting thing about this name, in Judges chapter 13, Samson's parents were childless, and as sometimes happened in the Old Testament, it was a childless couple that God comes to and says, I'm going to do something miraculous for you. And so an angel, it says the angel of the Lord, and that designation oftentimes in the Old Testament made theologians think that maybe it was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. That is, before he's born of Mary, he shows up as God the Son in some kind of physical form. So the angel of the Lord comes to talk to what would be Samson's mother and says, hey, I want you to know God's heard your cry. You're going to be a parent. You're going to have a baby. And when he comes along, he's going to be extraordinary. He's going to help deliver Israel from the Philistines. And so then he disappears, and the woman goes home and tells her husband, Manoah, hey, a guy showed up today, said we're going to have a baby, even though we've been childless all these years. And he says, we got to get that guy back here. I got to talk to him. We got to find out. First, I love it. He says, we got to find out how to raise this boy. And God tells him he's to be a Nazarite and gives him details about all this. When the angel does finally come back, Manoah, Samson's future father, then says, what is your name so we may honor you when your word comes true? No doubt he was planning to name the child after this man of God, since a miracle had happened and this man was a part of it. And the one identified as the angel of the Lord says to Manoah, why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. It's in Judges chapter 13, verse 18. Why do you ask my name? It's beyond understanding. And the word that's translated as those two words, beyond understanding, is a form of the Hebrew word that Isaiah used for the one word, wonderful. It's the same thing. My name is wonderful. My name is beyond understanding. His name is too wonderful to even be comprehended fully by us, beyond understanding. In other words, he's just too much. He's too much. He's beyond us. He's more.